The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch for a link to our Pro Wrestling Tee store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Hey everyone, this is Bill Apter from OneWrestling.com, and this great Lanny Poffo poem is called The Living Legend, and we all know who the living legend is because he is the only living legend, and it's not Larry Zbyszko. So I figured, what would it sound like for the real living legend Bruno Sammartino to have read this Lanny Poffo poem? I think it would sound something like this. You know, once upon a wrestling ring, but not so long ago, Mr. Bruno Sammartino was the only name to know. He stood up to Buddy Rogers, and the Nature Boy went down. Less than 60 seconds later, Sammartino, that's me, wore the crown. He is the real Italian stallion. That's a fact you can't ignore. His career had more successes than Rocky I, Rocky II, Rocky III, and Rocky IV. The living legend lives again for every single fan. He's on the microphone each week right next to Vince McMahon. Doggone it, that's what I would have sounded like.
I have a small dick.
Titties! God damn! Woo!
Well, I heard everyone in Wizardland saying, please, Tony, don't do a solo show tonight. We can't stand it when you're all by yourself. Not because you suck at what you do, but because you put all the other wizards and all the other podcasters to shame. And it is a shame that I'm sitting here by myself in Studio A, representing the Shining Wizards where it's wrestling talk. And of course, you know it's talk about wrestling. The Hall of Famer, the first Rant EM Radio Hall of Famer, Mr. Mega Powers himself, Dave Powers, Mega Powers, Mega Dave Powers. He is on his way. He is en route. I didn't want to sit here and just play music for you folks. I didn't feel like playing Mr. DJ tonight. I feel like playing Mr. Talkie Talkie, Mr. Let's Get Into Some Wrestling Talk. So Dave is on his way, and in the meantime, you get to listen to me. But before I start talking about wrestling, and I'd be quite honest off the bat, if you're looking for some in-depth analysis as to Raw and or Backlash, you're not going to find much of it here because I was disappointed at pretty much everything that's been happening. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So a friend of mine on Facebook today was out and about on his job, and he found a dog that was lost, a dog that scampered away from home, the poor little pup. But good thing he had a tag on, so he had his owner's information, and said, friend, return the dog. Didn't have to, mind you. Didn't have to be the good guy, the good Samaritan, as it were. and return this woman's dog, and goes up to the house, rings the bell, says, sorry, ma'am, found your dog. Oh, puppy, where have you been? Where have you been? Where have you been? Slam. People. I'm not about to get on a political rant or on a soapbox or anything, but some common courtesy. For God's sakes. Well, speak of the devil, El Diablo has arrived. But as I was saying, if someone does something nice for you, you don't have to pay them. You don't have to give them a gift. A simple thank you. A thank you will suffice. And ladies and gentlemen, before I get too much farther, I would like to thank and welcome back to Studio A, the one and only Hall of Famer from Rant EM Radio, the very first Hall of Famer, I might add, the Mega Powers himself, Dave Powers. You know what that's from, that I keep liking to repeat, Mega Powers, Dave Powers, Mr. Mega Dave Powers, and all that nonsense. You got to turn that on before you speak. I know. You're the professional, right?
Yeah. You don't have to tell me that. I know what I'm doing.
Well, welcome back, brother. It's been a long time.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You're a better host than your other cohorts.
Well, explain, please, because I do get a bad rep around here. Like the time that Phil and Choppy needed the studio for Turnbuckle Throwback's anniversary episode, and I just so happened to order pizza, and I asked them if they would like some, and I never hear the end of it for my hospitality.
Oh, God.
So tell me how my other wizards treat you so terribly.
You know, I'll give leeway to Kevin. Kevin's a good guy.
Well, because Kevin brings alcohol.
That too. You know, Eddie's all right. You know, he's kind at heart, but I don't really see him because he's...
Who?
Exactly.
You could throw that off, by the way. That's just the cover for the soundboard. I put that up there.
All right.
Well, you don't have to put it back on the soundboard.
But Matt Bowman.
Oh, here we go. Oh, and he's shooting. We're using names. We're breaking kayfabe.
You know, let me tell you something about Matt Bowman.
Let me tell you, brother.
The guy has me over last summer. You know, I bring so many viewers, listeners to the show, and he just gives me shit, tells them to bring more Jack Daniels down home punches, like I'm some sort of bartender.
And did you get a thank you?
No, I got nothing.
Wow. This is exactly what I led off with on the show. No common courtesy. This is why the country's in the shape it's in, Dave.
Exactly. Have you been on social media lately?
I've been on social media every waking minute of every day and every night.
Have you seen what your boy has been posting on there?
My boy, you?
No, Matt Bowman.
Oh, him? No, I don't pay any attention. Oh, they went to the NRA show.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Wait.
But there is something wrong with that.
Okay, keep going.
You know, he runs into...
Oh, okay, all right, now I know where you're going. Okay.
You know, an unprofessional wrestler there.
Wait, pray tell, who did Matthew run into?
Of all people, I wouldn't even consider this guy a wrestler, Garrett Bischoff.
Well, he is carrying the Bischoff name.
He does have a pro wrestling tee store, too.
Well, there you go. Does David Flair have a pro wrestling tee store?
No, but he should.
Well, all right. Well, fair enough, but...
But, you know, Matt posts up a photo with this guy, which, you know, hey, it's good for a laugh. But he... See?
I know.
But he puts in the comment, one of my favorite wrestlers.
Well, all right. In fairness, what did you want him to say? Hey, I met a shitty wrestler at the NRA convention and took a picture
yes.
with him? I mean, come on, dude. Would that be fair? That wouldn't be fair to Flair or Bischoff.
Well, you know, if I was Garrett Bischoff, I would want him to write that.
Well, of course.
Because if I were Garrett Bischoff, I would acknowledge that I wasn't a good wrestler. Is he even wrestling? He did have like a match recently, right?
You're asking me? Why? Because we're a wrestling podcast? We know these things?
Yeah, you're right. I forgot.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
I forgot.
And it's really bad when you have the greatest you have WrestleMania, the greatest Royal Rumble, and Backlash all within, what, 3 weeks of each other?
Uh-huh.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. What was it that I wanted to get into? Oh, before we delve into any beaten paths and decide to wander forward, found out just before we went to air that Nick Big Bully Busick passed away.
What?
Yeah. Well, when we interviewed him on the show a couple months ago, actually, I didn't. It was for Eddie's birthday bonanza, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And he's had some bad health issues the past 10 years.
Is it from all the street fights he's been in?
Well, he had cerebral spinal fluid cancer. I don't know how you get that. I can't imagine it's something nice. But apparently he was in hospice and he was around his family at the time he passed away. So.
Damn.
Yeah, but over the years, let me see. He had a brain tumor. He had to have brain surgery.
What?
Esophageal cancer. Cancer in his throat. Dude, all kinds of stuff. The poor guy's been sick. And he was a police officer, by the way.
Was he shot too?
Well, hey, you know what? The poor guy's odds, I wouldn't doubt it.
Damn.
But, I mean, that's a kick in the head. 63 years old. Unbelievable. The guy's been through a shit ton.
Well, it's over now.
Well, thankfully, respectfully.
Yes.
Poor guy.
Wow.
It never ends, dude. It never ends.
At least he got to get managed by Harvey Whippleman.
Hey, you know what? That big bully character, I kind of like that. I kind of like the gimmick, the bowler hat, the cigar, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad of a gimmick. Like, I remember when that character first came on the scene, it was, like, during that weird transition time, like, 93. Hogan wasn't around.
The new generation.
Yes.
And, unfortunately, he got lost in the shuffle with Alex Porteau and Freddie Joe Floyd and then T.L. Hopper and Duke Drosy, the dumpster, and... Yeah, it was not a good time for gimmicks.
No.
But I think the bully probably, if that was by itself or even with another gimmick around, that probably would have did okay, Friar Ferguson, Bastion Booger.
Yeah, if it was 1985, 86 maybe.
As a foil for the Hulkster,
yeah,
they could have made some money around the horn, bro.
Uncle Elmer's arch nemesis.
I'll never forget, there was a time... one of the garden shows, it was Valentine and Beefcake defending the titles against Hillbilly Jim and Uncle Elmer. And they came back to the locker room and they're like, "We beat the Hillbillies in 6 minutes. We're the greatest tag team ever." The greatest. They were high-fiving each other. They were so proud they beat the Hillbillies in 6 minutes.
Well, you know, it is quite an accomplishment. So
6 minutes. All you gotta do is knock Uncle Elmer down.
Yeah, it's kind of like a turtle, you know? I'm sure he'd be, like, kicking around, trying to get back up.
He was so gross, too. Wasn't he Plowboy Frazier?
Plowboy Frazier. He was the convict.
That's an awful big convict.
Yeah.
Should have been the convent. He's so big.
Yeah. Oh.
Boo. Sorry, Dave. They don't write themselves.
Yeah, I know. You don't have the other ones here to chime in.
Matt would have played 25 sounds already on the soundboard.
Yeah.
That's the way this goes. We are live.
Yeah, we're live.
Really? No love?
We're live.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. You do it for Phil every goddamn time. You could throw
not
some
all
away.
The time.
Well, not all the time. Only when they need you to save the show.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of the way it is.
That's why I'm here today. So.
Hey, did you hear about the greatest Royal Rumble?
I heard about how great it was.
Did you hear where? Do you know where it took place? Do you at least get that?
They have like halal food there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You're on the right track.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And apparently, Saudi Arabia's got this young king. Do they have a monarchy there, I guess?
Yeah. I think it's like a 30 something year old.
Yes. And he's pushing this Saudi Arabia 2030 gimmick, where he's trying to, I guess, bring more equality and liberate the women and no more beating your spouse. And
I don't know about if they're, you know, liberating the women. I think they're letting them drive cars. I think they're trying to have more, like,
see, that's
events.
The mistake the United States made.
Yeah.
Women shouldn't drive cars.
They shouldn't be voting either. So.
Well, trying to end women's suffrage. But in all seriousness, apparently, there was a sheik, not the Sheik of Araby and not the Iron Sheik. There was a sheik who was coming out and saying derogatory things about professional wrestling.
Was he throwing fireballs at people?
I don't know. There wasn't too much detail to the story. But Mr. Sheik Badir bin Ali Al Otaibi was arrested for critiquing professional wrestling.
Wow.
2 days after the Greatest Royal Rumble went down.
If only we could have that law over here.
Well, You got to keep look. Everybody critiques wrestling. You know how many people would be arrested in this country if they had those kind of rules here?
Yeah, it would be, the internet would be a safer place to roam if that was the case.
And every podcast about wrestling would be about how great Roman Reigns is and how wonderful Vince McMahon is. And yeah, I don't know. That's just weird. That really just like blindsided me. And that's about all the research I did for this week when it came to professional wrestling.
Now, what was his what was the Sheik's critique of wrestling?
They didn't say. I tried doing a little this and that and research and whatnot. He was actually the head of some group. Let me see if I can find
it. Facebook group?
Whatever their equivalent is, I would imagine. Maybe like... Okay, so here. So I've got the article here. It's confirmed that he was arrested because of his critique against wrestling, coinciding with the event of signing a 10-year deal between Saudi Arabia and WWE to bring professional wrestling to KSA. I would imagine that's short for the arena. The
yeah, the King something or others.
Okay. So yes,
auditorium.
The latest news about prisoners of conscience in Saudi Arabia. Oh, that's the prisoners of Consi? Oh, that's a Twitter account. Okay, so the Twitter account was the ones that broke the news.
Okay.
I don't know who runs it or what their political affiliation is.
What their agenda is.
Yes, so don't besmirch professional wrestling if your country is 99% desert and 1% oil.
Yeah, if you think John Cena should have lost.
I wouldn't be... What do they speak in Saudi? Do they speak Sudanese? What do they speak?
I don't know.
I bet you John Cena learned it to go there. That motherfucker learned Chinese. To yeah, go to China.
But it took him like years before he was like even... I don't even know if he's even fluent. I think he just kind of learned what he had to say during
his... You think he just made stuff up and people like were like, ooh, wow, look at him. He knows Chinese.
Well, you know, some of these countries, if you know a little bit, it's like a big deal to them. It's like, wow, this motherfucker learned how to speak a sentence. While all these other assholes won't bother to learn how to say hello to us.
And China's pretty wild, too, because they have two different versions of Chinese. There's Mandarin, and then there's
Cantonese.
The newer, like, well, they're simplified as well, too, right? I guess three different versions.
I think that's like the writing.
Yeah.
But I know there's Mandarin, there's Cantonese, and I'm sure, you know, kind of like here, if you go into a different state, you hear people talk a certain way.
Like and y'all that. And pop. And
yeah, and it's like... Soda, motherfucker! Come on.
Well, it's Coca-Cola. Can I get a Coke?
Yeah.
And then if somebody goes, "Do you want Pepsi instead?" Like I'm gonna get offended if you serve me a Pepsi. You know,
yeah.
Like, excuse me, sir, I distinctly ordered a Coca-Cola. Please do not bring me a Pepsi.
Can I have a Dr. Pibb? No, we only have Dr. Pepper here.
Well, is Dr. Pepper and Mr. Pibb?
It's basically Pibb. The same thing.
Do they still make Mr. Pibb?
Yeah, there's some...
I was never a fan. I don't like the guy who doesn't get his degree.
Like, oh, yeah, it was Mr. Pibb or something like that,
right?
Yeah, it
was Mr. Pibb. And it wasn't like Mr. Pibb Esquire. It wasn't like Professor Pibb.
No.
Just Mr. Pibb.
Just...
Like, this guy banged his wife and washed his balls and then decided to make some soda.
Somebody had to have, like, a knockoff Dr. Pepper, so...
Isn't there one, like, the CVS brand, what is it, Gold Emblem? I think they make a little bit of everything, don't they?
You know, every supermarket or Walmart and stuff like that, they have their own, you know, knockoffs. I think, like, Walmart has, like, their own Mountain Dew. It's called, like, Mountain Splash or something like that. Or
that's fucking awesome.
Cliff Diver, I don't know.
That is awesome. Yeah, I'm taking a look here. There's a Gold Emblem page. Oh, well, there's a Gold Emblem ginger ale. Oh, I don't think they have any kind of creative names for their sodas. That's a bummer. I was doing some research here, too, and I found nothing.
Doing some research on bootleg sodas?
Yeah, of course, dude. Listen, the people that are listening right now, they need to know these things.
Man, that's true.
Like, WrestleMania's coming next year. What if some guy from, I don't know, Michigan comes out here? Do they have CVSs in Michigan? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And he pops into a CVS and he goes, I could go for some cola, but I don't want to spend a lot of money.
You know, when I was down in Austin a year ago or so, they had like, I forgot the name of the soda, but it was kind of like this cinnamony bubblegum, like reddish cola. And it tasted great.
Was it like Big Red Soda?
I want to say it may have been called Big Red.
Well, wait. Mark Calloway's from Texas, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was maybe probably it's Booger Red.
The Booger Red soda.
There you go. Nutritious and delicious. Drink in peace. I'm sorry. That's fucking terrible. That's fucking terrible. So we are live on The Rant if you're
Dead
listening
man
to us.
Drinking.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't think I have that version of You've Done It Now. He's late, what a lazy shit. That's Matt Bowman. This is what happens when we leave T3 in charge. No, my son
Yo,
is
listen,
not in charge.
That came from Manhattan to New Jersey.
Gio wants to know where Shining Wizard's Eddie is. If you find him, send him our way.
Yeah. Tell him he still has a show to host.
Oh, brother. So, I
Isn't
wanna...
he working ahead. With, like, Laverne and Shirley in a warehouse or something?
He might be putting bottles on Schott's beer right now, bottle caps. That's Eddie's job. He stands at the end of the conveyor belt with a hammer and a bag of bottle caps.
Sure, he's not looking to find out if there's like a rat inside of a bottle or something.
Oh, hey,
like that.
You found a rat in here, eh? What beer was that? Was that Labatt?
It was Elsinore.
Oh, was there made up beer?
I don't know.
Now, those guys weren't working for the brewery, were they? It's been a long time since I've seen that.
Yeah,
movie.
I haven't seen that movie in forever.
Good God.
I think they were, like, visiting the brewery.
Canadians are funny. We need a good crop of Canadian actors again. Think
like
about
it. Like the Kids in the Hall?
Well, all right, but since then. And they all dressed like women, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were, like, transgendered before that became a thing.
Well, they essentially played all the characters in their skits. So well, if there's a woman, they played the women too.
What if their pitch was that was their deal? Like they all wanted to dress like women, but they didn't want to do that because they felt it was socially unaccepted. So they said, if we get on this show, we can pitch that to them and they'll love it. And then we get to dress up like women all the time.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people found the show socially unacceptable in the first place. So.
I really enjoyed the show. I really liked it.
It was great. I actually saw Brain Candy at Alamo Drafthouse about a month ago or so, and Kevin McDonald was there, and they screened a version of it with an alternate ending.
Really?
And like the copy of the film, like it wasn't actually on film. Like, he told the story that. Paramount Pictures cared so much about their movie that the initial cut of the film was destroyed, and there was a guy like in the editing room who made a copy of the original like director's cut for himself, and wow. It's like this VHS copy that this guy made for himself, and it got passed along to this guy and passed along to that guy, and they showed like this like I don't know fifth generation copy of it that they digitized for our viewing pleasure.
That's so wild.
Yeah, so there's actually like some scenes while you're watching the movie that like it's been recorded on so many different VHSs that like some of the guys that are on the screen are like completely white because the image has been like, distorted after so many, recopies.
But it's good that there was some asshole in the editing room that said, fuck this, I want to make a copy of this.
Yeah.
Because had that guy not had the balls to do that, that movie would have been lost.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because Kevin McDonald ended up saying, like, oh, well, the version that came out is actually better. And when I was done watching, I was like, yeah, he's right. Well. But still, luckily there's that original director's cut of the film that has a different ending, so there you go.
But it's also kind of cool, though, too, that, you got to experience that. Otherwise, you would have never known that that thing existed.
Yeah, like some of the shit that we see on YouTube every day.
What's wrong with YouTube?
I'm just saying, like, there's people that have stuff on there that,
Like Bob Backlund making out with geishas in the middle of a ring?
Yeah. Actually, what's it? I saw recently, I think it was like, within the month or so, on YouTube, somebody put up a video of superstar Billy Graham when he was doing a karate gimmick.
Oh, yeah, Graham, yeah.
Yeah, he destroyed the title, the purple belt.
Yes.
At ringside while, Backlund is, like, tangling with, like, some jobber. And then, Backlund catches wind of what's going on, and he cries like a little bitch on the outside of the ring, and they present him with the uglier green belt that Hogan won later on.
They made Backlund out to be such a pansy. They really did. They gave him no character. His like getting over technique was that little dance that he used to do,
which a lot of
like
people
that.
Hated.
Yeah, and on top of that, he would go to Japan and just lose the belt, come back, not have the belt.
But I'll say this for his Japan run, especially for the Phantom title change against Inoki.
Yes.
Those are great matches. And those were like his earliest, earliest versions of him being a heel. So obviously he's in Japan. So the evil white guy.
Of course.
So it's pretty interesting seeing Bob Backlund, the evil Bob Backlund before he became Mr. Bob Backlund.
Fair enough, but they didn't do him any favors with all that belt hot-shotting, and even the shit with Greg Valentine, dude. We handed the wrong guy the belt, so we're going to hold it up for a couple of weeks.
That never made any sense to me.
And they didn't hold it up. He defended the belt around the horn for the next couple of weeks while the belt was held up in New York.
Yeah.
Which made absolutely no sense.
Well, if you do some research and, some of these, old promotions back in the day, there'd be somebody who's the NWA World Tag Team Champions, but they're the tag team champions in that area. And there's a world tag team champion in St. Louis and all that other kind of stuff. So
yeah, I think they said there were only two NWA belts that the board recognized.
It was
the world title and I want to say the junior world title. Mm-hmm. But everybody else outside of that, it was go forth and multiply. It was whatever the fuck you want. Which is why when you look at chronologies of championships, you'll see NWA World Tag Team Champs, Detroit version.
Yeah.
Or Mid-South version.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's correct, but that's how they would divide them up. These were the World Tag Team Champions of San Francisco.
Yeah, because I remember not too long ago, I was watching some of the Mid-Atlantic shows that are on the network.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about this big-ass tournament that's going on around the world.
Oh, yeah.
And, I didn't really, think too much of it until there was, one point where Slaughter and Carnoodle mentioned that they beat Giant Baba and Antonio Inoki
as
a tag team. I'm like, all right, they were part of JWA until, 72. Yeah,
that's what I mean. They weren't even talking anymore.
Yeah, in 83 when this was going down. they had already split up. One has New Japan, the other one has All Japan.
There was a period of time though where they did a joint thing with WWF, All Japan, and New Japan at some point, didn't they? Was that later in the 80s?
That was the Summit in 90.
Okay. Do you know much about that? What went into that? How they got the All Japan and New Japan to sit down together? I know now, I know throughout history, a lot of the groups wound up working together, especially from that point forward, through the mid and late 90s.
Uh-huh.
But that one, Jesus, fucking Baba and Inoki, that was the whole schism in Japanese wrestling,
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of these promotions were able to put things aside, any kind of, I don't know if there was any personal beefs, but definitely, on a professional end. But I think for stuff like the Wrestling Summit, it's just kind of one of those kind of things where everybody's kind of all right, let's work together. And you got to keep in mind, some of these guys, before they made it big, like a Hogan or something like that, or a San Martino, they had their preferences and it didn't matter who, what their main promotion that they were working with, WWF, San Martino had a good relationship with Baba. So he wants to...
Yep.
Only associate with Baba.
Yeah. So when Vince says you're going to work for Inoki, he says, nope.
Yeah.
Inopi.
Yep.
Terrible. Boo.
Yes.
Hi-yi-yi. So where do we go from here?
Well, I see we got some gifts.
Yes. That's a good idea. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
By the way.
Merry Christmas.
Now, I want you to open your gift first. Because I've been dying to give this to you.
All right.
And I've been waiting for such a long time.
It says Mega Powers.
Yeah, I had to make sure because we have gifts for one of the other wizards in the back, too. Well, there you go. The opening of presents is brought to you by the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Now on Stitcher Radio and anywhere you can find your fine podcasts.
On your mom's Roku and your dad's Intellivision and
your sister's disease box.
Yes.
Oh. This is amazing.
Now, are you going to wear that with pride?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, I got to take a picture. I got Dave a Charles Bradley photo shirt.
I've never seen this shirt before, so this is pretty
cool. I know, and I don't think they make them anymore, so that could be a five of a kind. There we go.
Thank you, sir, man.
If I have any skills, I would put this on Facebook, but I really don't. All right, now I guess it's my turn. Oh, I'm getting text messages left and right over here. I don't know about you. Everybody wants to be involved with the Shining Wizards tonight, live on Rant DM Radio.
I'm opening your gift for you.
Oh, okay, look at that. That's awesome.
Here
I gotta
go.
Put on my old man goggles.
It's like a read. It's a book.
Whoa! Wrestling in the Garden, the battle for New York. Work shoots and double crosses. This is awesome.
It's the entire history of every single wrestling show, including newspaper clippings, results from the very first wrestling show in Madison Square Garden up to December 26, 2016.
This is how fruity I am, right? The first page I open to, no exaggeration, Wrestling, no TV, Madison Square Garden, Friday, May 17th, World Heavyweight Title Match, Buddy Rogers versus Bruno Sammartino.
You know,
what are the odds, dude? And there's the picture of him with the backbreaker.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
You know, I bought a copy of this for myself, too. And funny enough, when I opened up the book, the first page that I got to was the first Garden show that I went to.
This is so cool. This is so awesome.
It's from our good friends at Crowbar Press.
Yeah, and Scott Teal. Scott Teal's done 605 quite a bit.
Yeah.
The Super Podcast.
Actually, funny enough, I don't know, like, way before I was listening to 605, we were having, like, people that were, you know, I forgot his name, the dude that helped write the Luthez book was on the throwbacks.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, that was a great interview, too. I can't remember the guy's name.
And
that's an amazing book, by the way, if you guys have not had a chance to read Hooker.
Yeah.
Great book.
Well, that'll definitely give you some great background on the many world champions that were going on while Luthez was the world champion.
And Luthez was just so obsessed with wrestling just amongst the guys.
Yeah.
Like, to them at that time, that was their competition.
Yeah.
Because as things were changing in the ring, these guys really still wanted to try to hook each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, make each other tap and stretch and whatnot.
Well, that was the thing, you know, if you had some sort of competition, you know, different, you know, promoter that's trying to come in town, or, you know, that's, you know, running a town that you're going into, you know, the top guy would be like the legit, like, best wrestler, the best shooter, the best hooker that they had. And, you know, sometimes they would have, you know, to kind of like settle beef, they would have like a match between these two guys. And, you know, whoever came out on top, you know, that guy took over that territory. So
was the Luthez book the one where they talked about the guy who would go into town and he would like bet these guys at pool and bet these guys at racing and lose everything and start losing all his money? Then he would come back and, like, he'd have more money on him. He'd challenge everybody to wrestle, and then he'd beat them, take all their money, and just leave the town.
No, that was one of Rob Fuller's relatives.
Well, was it one of the Fullers?
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, I had that confused. I thought it was somebody that Thez knew.
But there's, I wouldn't be surprised if he knew him, because
there's probably thousands of stories like that anyway.
Yeah, just pick up that book. It's called Hooker by Lou Thez.
That's so great.
Crowbar Press.
Such a great name.
Yeah, because I remember hearing about that book for years, especially like once I first got the internet and you're just surfing around for wrestling and stuff like that. Like, that book would come up, and, you know, I'm trying to remember. That was like around...
That was a while ago. That book's been around for a bit, right?
Yeah, because I remember like when I first had the internet, it was like 98 or something like
when
that.
When you guys did the interview too, like, wasn't that for the re-release of the book? I forget.
No, there wasn't like any special reason. The only reason was because I found out that there actually was like physical copies of the book available for sale. So I picked it up and I was like, we need to do an episode on this.
Kit Bowman.
That's
his name.
Yes.
Okay. Now it's coming back to me. I do a little bit of research and it all works out.
Yeah. You know, type in a few things in Google. And...
Matter of fact, it also, here on Amazon, also has J. Michael Kenton listed too, who was the co-author of the book that you just got from me. Oh, and Scott Teal's on here too. Okay. They did editing. That was it.
Yeah. Because there was the original version of the book, and there's a lot of stuff that Thez talks about in the book that they knew were clearly incorrect. So there's a lot of, like, notes and additional information.
Yes, you're right.
So there's, like, some stories that Thez talks about in the book that they'll provide more information about, like,
that
what really
was
happened.
It. Yeah, there are an awful lot of footnotes, and some of them are pages long. I remember that now.
Yeah, I think there's, like, stuff that's, like, it's like reading a Bible. There's, like, notes at the bottom of the page, and then, like, there's, like, stuff, like, at the end of the book, and there's, like, information all over.
Well, what a lot of people have to remember, too, when somebody's giving their memoirs to someone else, there's a lot of stuff, especially somebody like Lou Thez, who's probably lived, like, five lifetimes.
The guy's been wrestling for, like, five decades.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, but everything in his mind, everything in his memory, you're going to screw things up. And it's not like he's, like, specifically lying to anyone or, you know, like, not trying to tell the truth. But it's the way that he remembers them.
Yeah.
Sometimes decades go by. It's tough to remember how things... Shit. I have a hard time remembering when I park my car sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, what's that? Roddy Piper, you know, before he passed, he was working on a book. And his son was talking about how... when he was putting together this book, you know, his father probably told himself the same stories and the same lies, you know, for decades. And
yeah.
Probably got to a point where, you know, he just believed, you know, the story because he told it so many damn times.
Well, like Andre was 7'9" and close to 700 pounds.
And, you know, he died after he got slammed at WrestleMania 3.
Nobody knew that he was going to cooperate. Everybody's afraid he was going to shoot.
Yeah.
Hogan always told the story, too, back when they wrestled in 79 and 80. Like, he would be driving to the arena, and he would have to stop the car and throw up on the side of the road because he'd get all worked up working with Andre.
Yeah.
Andre was a prick, though. A lot of people said that that Andre didn't like them for whatever reason.
Well, ask Bad News Brown.
Bad News Brown, Kamala.
Yeah.
Big John Studd. He fucking hated Big John Studd.
You know, I don't know how true this is because it just sounds so outrageous. There was like a shoot interview with Kamala like years ago.
Well, we talked about Steve Lombardi getting tagged.
Not just that, but
do I have Push It queued up? Like,
I want to say that he had a match with Andre the Giant, and he said that he went to the ring and he had a gun in his tights.
Oh yeah.
And
I remember this.
And he, you know, kind of like shows the gun to Andre, and you know, Andre was, you know, more than willing to cooperate. And like, how does a Ugandan giant with the gear that he's wearing, just in general, how do you bring a fucking gun with you in your tights?
Probably had it under one of the rolls between his legs or something.
I guess so. That's probably, you know, what kept it from going off. Or...
Nah, I got a gun. And you're going to work with me? I'm going to kill you. That's a good James Harris, right?
Yeah. That was a good shoot interview, too.
I wish I had the music queued up.
I think I still have it somewhere in my house.
I wonder how he's doing. Kamala, like when we first started the show, we were obsessed with Kamala.
Uh-huh.
The fact that he lost a foot, the fact that he was getting another foot amputated. Like we were following Kamala like tight.
Yeah.
And even when we found out like he was trying to raise money, we came up with the idea, which Chris Hero also came up with at the same time, and he actually got people to print the damn thing while it was still a thought in our minds, the Kamala Moon shirt.
Yeah.
You know, with the stars and the moon on the brown shirt.
Yeah. I remember, like, I don't know, just see that shirt randomly, and me and a friend of mine were like, where'd that guy get that shirt? It's so great.
You could thank Chris Hero for that.
Well, I would thank him if I could actually fucking find the shirt. Or back then, if I could find the shirt.
Do you think Chris Hero can fit in the shirt now?
You know, he's got quite the t-shirt collection, so...
Well, he's put on a few pounds over the years, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But then again, I get blamed for fat shaming on this show, so I don't want to speak too loudly.
Well, you know, I ran into him at Hurricane Hall while I was in Japan.
Who's that?
Chris Hero.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he knock you down?
No.
Oh, because you said you ran into him. Oof. Sorry.
He didn't sit on me,
Whoa.
But yeah, me and my friends, we were getting some tickets to shows, and Cole Cabana came up to us, and...
hey, aren't you Mega Powers, the first inductee into the Hall of Fame?
Well, even funnier.
Oh, boy, wait, he recognized you as the Hall of Famer?
Yes, he did. But
that's fucking
funny. But anyway, even better than that, while we're bullshitting with him... Some fucking, like, random, like, Japanese, I don't know if he was a kid or an adult or, you know, like, the lines are blurred over there sometimes. So, this person comes up to me.
Oh, no.
waving a picture while we're like talking to one another. And you know, I briefly glance at the picture and obviously, yeah, I don't know what this guy's saying to me. And, you know, just briefly look at the photo. It's like a blurry photo of some guy. And it just kind of like, it slowly registers in my head. This guy thinks I'm the guy in the photo. And I just kind of wave him off. I'm like, it's not me.
Okay, who was it?
I don't know. The photo is so blurry. Like, it was like, I didn't know people still took, like, shitty photos like this with the kind of cameras that we have now.
Was it Jay Fox taking the pictures?
I think so. Maybe the Japanese Michael J. Fox. And I'm looking at this photo. I'm like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, does this person actually think that I'm this person? Do we really all look alike?
Did he come up to you and say mega power? Mega no. Power. Mega power.
But maybe, yeah, some Japanese person thought I was somebody else.
I would love to know.
Yeah, I'm dying to know who the fuck was this person.
My brother-in-law was it China recently? Because he's been to Japan. You know what? It was Japan. And he's probably an inch or two taller than me. He might be like 6'1", 6'2". He's a big white guy, you know?
And he went up to him and he's like, podcast cancer.
Yes, that's what they did. And they kicked him in the shin and they say, very, very bad man. He had these groups of like young kids coming up to him.
Uh-huh.
They thought he was like Zac Efron.
What?
They thought he was Zac Efron. So wow. They all decided to take pictures with him.
Jeez.
It happened multiple times in different parts of Japan.
Wow.
Yes.
Jeez.
Yep. Only in Japan. I guess we all do look alike.
I think so. You know, I saw on the Facebook recently, there was like one of those like clickbait things. And it was like, you know, the 25 best photos of people thinking that they took photos with celebrities. And there's like, what? There's like multiple black guys that, you know, white people are thinking are Morgan Freeman. Ah. And there's like one dude at a bar who like takes a picture with this dude, and he's like, Great to finally meet Rod Stewart. And it's like some old guy with like spiky, like gray hair.
Did you ever see the one I reposted a couple of months ago? There was a young fella in India who thought he met Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And they interviewed him as to why he was in India. And he gave an entire interview with them.
Yes.
About all the food that he liked and the different kinds of chicken that he was enjoying.
Yeah. And I think it was like in a reputable like Indian.
Yeah, it was published,
India Times.
Or yes. And so many people were like, not Hulk Hogan. About 6 hours later, the article was gone and it said, the article was a misprint.
Like, what is wrong with people?
Well, I mean, look, it's like here. The guy kind of looks like Hulk Hogan. Oh, it is Hulk Hogan. I mean, think about it. When was the last time Hulk Hogan was legitimately on TV in India? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
So, like, for somebody to be on the street that sort of looks like him, but then to go balls out and go, hey, I write for the India Times or whatever it was. Can I get an interview?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, yeah, the chicken's great. Not even a brother or a dude, you know? Like, just, yeah, the chicken's
great.
Yeah,
actually, there were no dudes. There were no brothers.
That's the telltale sign.
Let me tell you something.
No itchy bonds or anything like that?
If I remember correctly, he did say how the wrestling was great in India.
Yes, yes. Putting over the wrestlings, which there's quite a bit of children doing. It's not even backyard wrestling, dude. These kids build a ring on like some alleyway and they go all out. They have entrances, they put graphics on it, and they all have like takeoffs on WWE characters. Like if you watch the videos on YouTube, first of all, the ring only has two ropes, but we're not going to hold it against them.
No.
And there's only one side of the ring where people are getting thrown out of because they did their own Royal Rumble, and that's where all the blankets and cushions were so they wouldn't get hurt. But, dude, like, Randy Orton was there, RKO and everyone.
Oh, I remember this video.
Stone Cold was giving stunners to everyone. Great Khali was chopping everyone in the head. I mean, all could have been Great Khali, right?
Yeah.
But still, it was funny. They even had the New Day. Three guys came out at once.
You know, actually posted on YouTube a while back a video of the great Khali, quote unquote, dancing in a Bollywood video.
A Bollywood movie.
I remember this. He starred in his own Bollywood movie, which, one of my friends gave to me, and this movie is god awful.
Well, of course it is, except for the fact that the great Khali is acting.
Yeah, and he's only in like.
Wasn't he in Ready to Rumble?
Oh
no, wait, that was Booker T.
Yeah,
sorry.
Oof.
Was Booker T even in Ready to Rumble? Probably not.
Probably not.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter.
India, great wrestling, just like WWE.
That video is still one of my all-time favorites. What was the guy's name? Radhav?
I don't even know if they even had any names, did they?
Yeah, they mentioned them in the comments. Like one was like Mintu and the other one was Radhav. I have to look it up. You know what we really should do? I got to get on this. We have our YouTube channel, which doesn't have too many videos of our own on it.
Okay.
I need to put together a favorite list.
Uh-huh.
So that when we start talking about things on the show, we can actually archive them.
Yeah.
So people like when I say, just like WWE, shit, I spit all over the keyboard. When I say just like WWE, somebody could go to our page and then just find it. It was called Just Like WWE? Like WWF Delhi? There we go.
There we go.
Let me see. And, of course, I'm not going to find it.
Because I remember whenever we talk about it, I try looking for it on YouTube, and I have no luck finding it.
Yeah, it's not hard. It's not easy to find. It's like because it's called something like Out of the Ordinary.
Yeah.
Let me see. I tried Delhi. Let me try India. I don't know. It's just some fun shit that you could play around with after we talk about it. Yeah, it's all Great Khali now, of course.
Yeah.
Great Khali, arm wrestling, Triple H. In a broken Indian broken glass arm wrestling match from SmackDown, August 2008.
What?
When did this happen?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, Louise. I don't know.
They do all the best stuff when no one cares.
Great Khali versus Jinder Mahal on Superstars in August 2013. What is it? The Indian guys are only allowed to wrestle in August?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy cow. Yeah, you know what? I can't find it. I'm going to have to find it, though, and post it up.
Yeah, and I think it's not called Just Like WWE. I think it's called something like, I don't know, Almost Like WWE.
I don't know. It's probably like something like Delhi Wrestling or something like that.
But it has something, you know, to the tune of Just Like WWE in the title.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Oh, and believe me, folks, you'll know it when you see it. Ah! Indian wrestler, .. Delhi, .. looks like WWE.
That's
awesome. Yes, it's okay. I just want to describe it for you folks so you know. I'm sure we've talked about this before. All right, here. The wrestling took place at Rajiv Gandhi Stadium, which is in India in Delhi. The guys from Delhi Village, one of them, Raghu Yadav Mintu, and another is Billy Yadav, they're brothers. Look like a professional wrestlers. Watch and please need your valuable feedbacks to promote this video. Well, comments are unfortunately disabled, Dave, but I can tell you right now that this video has 83,000 views and 100 likes and 267 dislikes. But let me tell you something.
Those guys are missing out.
Mintu looks amazing. He's got these perky, supple breasts with this big belly. And he came out to some music. I forget what it was, but here comes his brother who comes
out. And he has lasers, too.
Here's the odd thing. It looks like it's in an auditorium, but this ring has walls on two sides of it. It's a boxing ring, but don't worry about their safety because nobody really takes any real bumps to speak of.
No, they're really like dancing around the ring.
They're masters of chain wrestling, so if you enjoy the chain wrestling, you may want to check this out.
If you like the Marquis of Queensberry rules.
Now, I got to tell you, Mintu's brother, Bilu. Oh, it's Billy, not Billy. Sorry. Uh-huh. So it's Ragdu and Bilu, but they're the Yadav brothers. You know what? Let's give the Yadav brothers a backstory. What do you think caused these guys to have this match tonight in this very ring in Delhi?
You know.
You think it was goat herding? You think that's what tore them apart?
You know, I think. One guy sniffed the dirty rag of his wife's when she was on her period because they're not allowed indoors
and he smelled,
while they're on their period.
He smelled Bilu on Yadav's wife's.
Yeah.
Now look, he looks like an Indian version of like Goldberg. He's got a pretty good build.
I would think more of one of the Gemini guys, or
like one of the dicks,
the Basham brothers.
But this guy's got a pretty good build, and he's actually wearing boots and knee pads and trunks. So these guys came to look the part, you know.
So I guess he had access to highspots.com or something. While
highspots.in for India, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh man, ducking some punches early. All right. You know what? And then the bell rang. All right. Well, you guys are gonna have to figure that out. It's called Indian Wrestler .. Looks like WWE awesome by Niraj Yadav. Oh, another one of the Yadav brothers. He must be the ring announcer. Those Yadavs really know how to throw a wrestling party.
It's almost like it looks like WrestleMania. Awesome.
Well, Dave, it looks just like WWF.
Yeah.
Or WWE. They must have changed it.
I was a little bit confused while we were watching. I thought we were, I thought you turned on the Greatest Royal Rumble for a second.
You stole the words right out of my mouth. Hey, you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, why not?
We could do that. We could run some commercials. We haven't run commercials in like months around here. Let me just cue them up. When we come back, some more nonsensical wrestling talk.
Yeah.
Back after this.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron, if you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit shiningwizards.com and click on the IVP videos banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow at collarandelbowbrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your lucha gear needs, visit luchashop.com. Once again, use the code WIZARDS at checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Brian Thompson at gauntletcreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday, everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Just when you thought I was out, they pulled me back in. That's right, it's your boy Gino Gotts, and I'm back. Every other Wednesday, we're dropping A Drink with Gino. What do you hear? What do you say? Only one way to find out. That's right here on the Shining Wizards Network and a B-plus player radio.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B-plus Player Radio Network.
Hi, Dave. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I was going to play... What was I going to play? I had Shawn Michaels' Sexy Boy queued up.
Okay.
And then I saw Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. I said, we could use a little Mean Gene and a little Rick Derringer right now.
You know, that's the only way to go about it.
This was such a great album. Do you remember when you bought the album, when you bought the wrestling album? Did you have the wrestling album?
Yeah. Of course. But I have a good story, a Mean Gene story, if you want me to...
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure you were there. Yeah, not in the room while it happened.
Was that
one of the Legends of the Rings?
Oh, nice. At? Okay.
Because when we brought it up, I'm like, going to be there all day. Obviously our podcast that we were recording was not going to be like 8 hours long, but I think it was anyway.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
But I was like, I don't really want to meet any of these guys that are here. But then I found out Mean Gene was going to be there. So I was like, shit, what do I have? He was the only guy that appealed to me. I'm like, all right, what do I have that's Mean Gene related that, I can get signed, in a moment's notice? And I was like, oh, I have this 7-inch, vinyl record that was, put out by some, rockabilly label that I found at a punk rock flea market. And of Mean Gene's recordings, back in the 50s or 60s or something like that. So I'm like, oh, I have, the perfect thing to bring with me.
There you go.
So I get online, and literally every other person has a Mean Gene LJN. So I'm like, wow, people on eBay must have been, pretty happy that their Mean Gene LJNs are all gone.
Oh, yeah, make them bank.
So, I only bought the ticket for an autograph.
Okay.
So, I forgot what, the combo was, but something ridiculous. So, all these morons are going up to him with the same LGN, so I'm sure Gene's going to, fuck it.
What is this shit?
Yeah.
What is this?
So then I come up to him with this record, and he, flips his lid. He's like, where did you get this? And, I'm, his best friend now, and he's just like... He's like, oh, my God, this is great. This is incredible. And even funnier, the record on the back of the sleeve says, WCW announcer Mean Gene Okerlund.
How did that happen?
He was in WCW when they released the record.
Wait, but this was a re-release?
It was, I don't know if he had any, like, actual releases. Like, these are probably from, like, acetate recordings or something.
Gotcha.
So I don't think he ever had, like, a full album or something like that. There's only, like, 3 songs on it. So it's just, like, this company, you know, finding obscure shit and putting it on vinyl.
Now, I wonder if Mean Gene makes any money off of this. Probably not.
Well, he seems so happy that, like, somebody actually gave a shit about his singing career.
Now, let me ask you, did you get a free picture with Mean Gene?
You better believe it.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes. Like, you were like, hey, Gene, a quick picture?
Absolutely. And the guy that was vending him, and I did this on purpose because I knew how much.
That guy was a dick?
No, the guy was, like, so confused. Because Gene was so happy about this that, like, he just, like, had, like, that blank look on his face. And he was just like, okay. And then you handed him my cell phone and took a photo with Gene.
Nice. Very so nice. Well played, sir.
Yes. And everyone that's holding their Mean Gene LGN is like, where'd you get this record? And like,
yep. You should have said, not eBay, cocksucker.
Yep. Fuck you.
That's fucking awesome. I know you're not too much up on the current product, but I have to ask you, because we are a wrestling podcast and we do like to cover the current stuff. Are you up on anything in terms of storylines, characters, what's been happening?
I did watch Backlash.
Oh, okay.
Because I know you didn't.
Oh, well, that, to be fair, I watched the first match.
Okay.
I thought the Intercontinental title match was amazing.
It was. It was.
The problem is, though, now, it's like you get into that mode where you know the Miz isn't going to win. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like, oh, man, he hit the skull-crushing finale. Man, he's going to kick out.
Not too many people kick out of it.
Well, lately.
Okay, well, I haven't been watching, so.
So it's just a bummer that, like the Miz is in that role where he's doing everything that he can to try to win, but he can't.
Yeah, and he's a heel.
Yes, which is kind of weird because things are flip-flop, but.
Yeah.
Don't get it mistaken. I'm still a huge Miz fan, and so is Kevin. The Miz is wrestling unbelievably at this point in his career.
Yeah, he's the best that he's ever been.
Unbelievably, with the gimmick, the promos, the character, the expressions, the generalship in the ring, the way he conducts himself.
Yeah, it's, you know, when he first came on the scene, everybody's like, you know, fuck this guy because he's like an MTV reality star.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, when he main evented WrestleMania, I was a huge fan of his then. I thought he was amazing. But he's just on another complete level at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, not saying that the Intercontinental Championship's a bad place to be.
No,
but there's
at all.
A sea of, like, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar, all these other guys that are positioning for the top. Kyle leaves the Miz in the spot that he's in, which is not a bad place.
No.
But if there's anybody that deserves a bigger role, it's definitely him.
Without a doubt.
And he's always kissing babies and shaking hands and doing the charity work and all that.
And he's still a convincing heel, too.
And he's a great publicity guy.
He could be,
like,
the absolute, like, biggest dick in the world, but, you know, do all the stuff that WWE wants him to do.
Exactly. Exactly. So, tell me all about the rest of the shit show that was Backlash.
Oh, God. You know,
all I heard was terrible things. As a matter of fact, friend of the show Scott Keith gave it a big fucking thumbs down.
Well, you know, I think the proper question to ask is, what was I doing while the pay-per-view was on?
Okay, fair enough. Dave, what were you doing while Backlash was on?
Well, I got into a little car crash, so...
Oh, this was that night?
Yes.
Wait.
No, it wasn't the night that it happened. Oh. It was the night that I was deciding whether or not to plead guilty to the shitty charge that they gave me, which
was
changing lanes in an unsafe manner. Meanwhile, my car had malfunctioned and lost control.
And you had no way to control your car to begin with.
Yeah, so, you know, motherfucking trooper kind of had to give me some sort of citation.
That's what kills me about the state in which it happened. I won't mention the state, but it rhymes with Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
And it wasn't Transylvania.
No, not...
At least they'll suck your blood and let you, like,
Kramer
know about
wasn't
it.
Answering the door. There was no wacky doorbell.
No.
You get the reference? I hope you get the reference.
Yes.
Man trying to get in.
Yeah.
Great fucking movie. And Gina Davis was awesome in that movie, too.
Yeah.
She has some big old titties. I'm sorry. I'm digressing.
Now they're down to her knees, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
They're like knee pads now.
Hey, you gotta.
It sounds
like you gotta protect yourself somehow.
When she walks braless, it sounds like a Clydesdale coming through them.
Oh God.
Okay, so the rest of Backlash.
My God, I know that there was a point where I thought it was finished, and it wasn't.
Well, that was the big complaint because this took place in Newark.
Yeah.
And by the time
everybody
the main
needs
event,
to make sure that the hubcaps are still on their
cars. I mean, look, I don't care. Newark's Newark. It is what it is.
I had to drive through there to get here.
I'm sorry. I apologize for putting that bus in front of you on the way here.
Yeah.
Which caused you to get here at 7:03 instead of 7:01.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't, these pay-per-views running long and look, people got to go to work and getting out of Newark is no easy task at 11 o'clock when the venue's letting out.
No, it's not like there's major highways, like several lane roads or something to drive through. Like everybody's trying to get out.
Yeah, you can get to 78, you can get to the turnpike, but it's not easy.
No.
Especially when, about 8,000 or 9,000 of the people have the same mindset where they're all looking to go to the same place.
Yeah, and I think if you're taking New Jersey Transit or the PATH train and shit like that, it's not easy to get there from the Prudential Center.
And on a Sunday after 11, those trains run every 40 minutes. They're not frequent trains.
No.
So if you miss the 11:05, you're hanging out in Newark till 11:50.
And was Sunday hot? Because I know, if you're, waiting...
Sunday was cooling down. The weekend was already starting to cool down, but I get what you're saying.
Waiting for the train, it's, fucking hot as shit.
And to keep you safe in Newark, you don't just walk down the hill to the train, because, God forbid, you walk through, the gateway. They call it the gateway.
Yes.
So you literally walk two blocks to the gateway, and then you maneuver and weave your way through several different buildings to get to Penn Station, which puts you right out near the Greyhound portion of Penn Station. Yeah. Oh, it's good times.
And then, you have the Super Mario Brothers, twirling ball of fire going in a circle that you need to jump on the brick and then avoid that. And
it's
then...
a me in Newark.
And
so people started leaving. And not the least of which the reason was the main event was Brock Lesnar's nemesis, I should say.
Is he really a nemesis? Because he keeps beating him. Oh, so
it's fucked up, dude. It's like the little legend that can't. It's like when do you give up?
Yeah.
When do you give up? That's what pisses me off more than anything. They did that shit with Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan was completely more over than Roman Reigns has been in a long time.
Oh yeah.
And you book Roman Reigns, and you book Lesnar as a heel going into Mania, and then you book Roman Reigns finally looking strong after all this time with this fuck everybody attitude, and then he loses at Mania. And then he loses at the Greatest Royal Rumble. And then they give him Samoa Joe. For what? Nobody gives a fuck. You're a loser.
I've been trying to find this clip forever. And I'm not a big fan of the Attitude Era. And I know it happened sometime around then. There's a perfect Vince McMahon speech of, I know what the fans want better than they know what they want.
Yep.
Yep. And that's exactly, what's going on. I wish I could find that clip. I don't know what it's connected to or what the promo is about. I just remember him saying that.
He said it once when he gave Hogan the title shot against Triple H.
Okay.
When they were first, before they did the brand split. They did the brand split before they did two champions.
Yeah.
The champion was floating.
Yeah.
And I remember he said that when he decided to give Hogan the title shot instead of The Undertaker or instead of somebody else.
You done it now.
But there was definitely one with more venom and more vitriol that you're talking about that I remember as well.
Yeah. There was he was really going in deep. I don't even know if that's precisely what he said, but he was just getting across that whatever he gives the fans, they're going to enjoy, what he gives them.
Yeah. Well, and there's still tons of people that went out to the show, but.
Yeah,
when you put on a main event and you put it on a half an hour when after the pay-per-view is supposed to be over, nobody wants to fucking stay, dude. I wouldn't have stayed. I left fucking WrestleMania early at MetLife.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit. Cena and fucking Rock was awful. Who cares?
I remember years ago, a friend of mine gave me the gift that kept on giving. It was a ticket to SmackDown back when they used to film two shows back to back.
Oh.
Yeah. And then
two SmackDowns, or were they filming other things?
No, they were filming two SmackDowns back to back.
Oh, yuck.
And they had a dark main event. So this was at a point where, specifically SmackDown was known for people like walking out, like big sections of like arenas were just empty.
Yep.
And, I got to witness that firsthand. And there's a point where like the second show is going on and people are just leaving. They have their kids with them. It's like, I forgot when it was like filming at that time. I don't know if it was a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or a Friday, whatever. But people have their kids. It's during the weekday. They're tired. And the dark main event was a WWE title match against Edge going against the then champion Jeff Harvey.
And, oh, Jesus.
And people were walking out while the guys were entering the ring.
I do find that people tend to do that, though, even like during a regular Raw or SmackDown, where it's like, all right, it's already late. Like, Raw goes on to like 11:05, 11:10.
Yeah, enough's enough.
Exactly. Like, if you can't get your shit in 3 hours, shame on you.
Yeah.
You don't need that 05 anymore. The whole purpose of that 05 was to stick it to Nitro.
Yeah.
And there's no point for that anymore.
Nitro's been gone for years.
It's almost 20 years, dude.
Yeah.
Almost 20 fucking years. God damn. That's a long time. So what else happened on this pay-per-view? I heard that Nia Jax had a mental breakdown and she told everybody. God.
Well, that was a mess to begin with. Like, she beats Alexa Bliss.
What a shame.
Yeah.
I love Alexa.
I know you do.
She's adorable.
She's your VIP piece of ass.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that.
So Nia Jax wins.
That's Matt Bowman's VIP big piece of ass.
You know what? When I think of Nia Jax, I think of like when you're like on a dating site or something and you're like looking through pics of girls and stuff like that. And there's like girl that looks like this chick was pretty hot. But it's just like face pics.
Because she took the picture looking up. Holding the phone above her head,
yeah,
where the cleavage is sticking out, so you see the boobs, but everything underneath the boobs is well hidden.
Yeah, like you can't see the fupa. You don't see like
You get a little bit of hiney, but because it's behind her hair, so yeah. It kind of looks like wow, she got a nice thick hiney, you know.
Or even worse, it's just like just the head, and it's just kind of like, she kind of looks hot. Like,
yep.
I don't know if she's like 500 pounds, but let me send her a message anyway or whatever.
Oh, Jesus.
Let me swipe right. And then when you meet her, whoa.
Yeah. That's when you do the walk by. You say, yeah, hey, I'll meet you at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So she has fooled the entire Prudential Center.
Yeah. But yet she was the victim of bullying.
Yes. Well, she's going into this like, I'm doing this for all people that were like bully, but she's not owning like what she's saying. There's people booing her, not to knock her because, even like the best of the best, if there's like somebody in the crowd that's just getting on your nerves.
And either you're going to learn to deal with that by being above it, or you're going to shut it down,
Yeah.
And
so
she's probably not experienced enough to deal with it either way.
No, exactly. And the kind of vibe that I get from Nia Jax is she's a big girl. I feel like she should own being a big girl, and I don't feel she is. I feel like she's like somebody that wants to lose the weight, who wants to look a certain way. But
it's funny you mention that because I've heard that the outfits that they put her in make her look bigger on purpose.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how true that is, but it would go into what you're saying about how she comes across.
Because, with her character, obviously it's supposed to be this empowering person, but they're at the same time, they're trying to build her like she's like this mastodon of a woman that's crushing, her opponents and stuff like that, which...
She's not like most girls, Dave.
That's true. So, I feel with this character, there's like an identity crisis. They want it to be one thing... She wants to be one thing, and there's too many. It's like splitting off in different directions.
And it's kind of hard to take a character that was supposed to be a destructive badass.
Yeah.
And then turn her into a victim especially at the hands of someone who's like a third of her size.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. It's like this is the reason why they didn't put the title on Andre the Giant.
Mm-hmm.
Because what good are you going to do to have a monster baby face that nobody could, you know, essentially beat?
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of people have beaten Nia Jax, you know, up to this point, but they've got her reestablished where she's just like this unbeatable beast.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
like, where do you go from there?
Well, you know, also, like, what happened with Big Show? It's like, how many times can you reestablish somebody as a monster?
His downfall was they changed him like 4,000 times.
Oh, yeah. And he went along with it. So.
Although, I'll tell you this much. We'll get back to that point in a second. Mark Henry, his last run with the Hall of Pain, completely forgot about all the other stupid shit he ever did.
Yeah.
Like, sexual chocolate, I liked. China, yeah. Dear Sweet China, not so much. You know what I'm saying? Like, D'Lo Brown's lackey, give him the European title, not so much. But Hall of Pain, amazing.
Yeah.
Big Show, when he was doing all the impressions of people. Goofy Big Show. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
Big Show bending frying pans and shit.
Yeah.
But you made a point. You said that Mark Henry, Big Show, went along with all the gimmick changes, changing them back and forth. Do you think there are people that should take the risk and just stand up and say, no, I don't want to do this, or no, I don't want to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think holds them back?
I think with any kind of job, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily professional wrestling. Some people feel, you know, regardless of how long that they've been working somewhere, that, you know, that they may not have enough pull, that, you know, if they say no, that something bad is going to happen. So I feel with like some of these guys that, you know, especially in a Shark Tank, like professional wrestling, I'm sure some of these guys are kind of like, oh, well, haven't been doing so hot lately. I've been doing some of these stupid, be a star thing and reading to dumbass kids who can't read. Like, what if they demote me from that? I don't know if that's what these guys think, but I'm sure they're thinking about, what's next for my career. And, you know, maybe they're with some of the firings that they do, why not them at some point, you know? So I think some of these guys, you know, they get comfortable where they are, and, you know, maybe a guy like Big Show just doesn't really give a shit about if he's on top or if he's on bottom or whatever. That could be another thing, too.
Yeah. Oh, I heard Big Show is a power bottom, so he kind of likes being on the bottom.
He likes laying down.
But it's frustrating because, like you can see the spots of greatness that are inside Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
When he cut that heel promo during the snowstorm, when he cut the heel interview with Sam Roberts around that same time, you can see like he's got a fire in him that's aching to get out. But does he have the balls to tell Vince, like, hey, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
Well, you know, I find it funny, too, because there's a lot of wrestling fans that will admit that they want to like him. But, of course, the excuse is, he's being shoved down our throats.
When he was with the Shield,
yeah,
he was amazing. People cheered for him like fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Because he was the badass. Even when the Shield broke up at first, he was still like, you know, destroying people.
Yeah.
And then they had him kissing babies and you know, shaking
reading the
hands.
Dumbass kids that can't read.
Well, I think the thing that really started it down the road to ruin, they showed that video of him with his daughter where he was reading to her. Look, I get it. Roman Reigns is a dad. I'm sure he's a great dad. He reads to his little girl. He probably spends as much time as he can with her when he's not on the road. I don't need to see that when you're trying to make him a badass killer.
We need to have him on the road, banging rats, snort coke off the bar table.
Well, he doesn't have to, but give me that legend.
We need him doing more steroids.
Yes, definitely.
Riding a motorcycle.
And take the vest off. What are you hiding? You're a jacked up Samoan and you're wearing a vest?
Yeah.
Like Samoa Joe should be wearing a vest. Like Kevin Steen or Kevin Owens should be wearing a vest.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
He should be wearing like an Eskimo coat to the ring.
Well. But Roman Reigns should not be wearing I mean, Jesus Christ, Seth Rollins comes to the ring. He's not wearing a vest or a shirt or anything.
Yeah,
like
all those guys in the Shield aren't wearing their Shield gear.
No.
He's the only one still holding on.
With the same music and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe if they broke him away from that and gave him, like, you know, let's let him be the badass. Let's let him be on a tear, on a collision course.
Yeah.
Instead of like, I don't care if you hate me or you like, you know what? Fuck you. You don't like me? I don't give a shit. I'm going to destroy Brock Lesnar. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, have him rip up a book.
Yeah. Make him a heel, dude.
Yeah.
What would be wrong with heel versus heel?
Yeah.
He wants it. He wants it worse than Lesnar wants it.
If we can have The Miz being a successful heel while still doing all the you know, the Make-A-Wish or whatever stuff going on with him. You know, the autograph signings at Baltic Video, whatever.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Roman Reigns could do that too.
But just let him be a badass and say, you know what? I don't even want the title. It's like, I don't just want the title. I want your blood.
Yeah.
I want your blood on my hands. I want to take your soul away from you. I want to leave you with absolutely nothing. I want to send you back to your house in fucking Idaho or Utah or wherever the fuck he lives.
You know, even Richie Cunningham on Happy Days.
Bucko.
Cut a heel promo on his folks. He's like, I want a damn cereal. I want oatmeal.
Just let him be a killer. Yeah. Let him be a killer.
Yeah.
And when you get people on his side, then you can worry about trying to make him a bit of a face. Let him kiss up to the fans just a little bit.
Yeah.
Or just keep pushing him till you don't give a shit about you. Yeah. They'll love him even more.
Yeah.
Worked for Austin.
Well,
we haven't had a good anti-hero in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've even been wondering myself, like, is there ever going to be like another like boom period for wrestling where everybody wants to be a wrestling
fan? Yeah, well, in Saudi Arabia, they're going to give somebody the green tropical belt.
Well, yeah, because if you make fun of wrestling, you're going to be imprisoned or beheaded or whatever.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's still so dumb. Roman Reigns should have won the belt on that tour. Did you notice? I don't know the only things that really got cheered over there, John Cena was over like gangbusters.
Yeah.
People went nuts for him. People went nuts for Triple H.
Well, that was the best match on the card.
Yeah. People even cheered for Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
They did.
They were also booing him, too.
Well, he lost.
Yeah.
I would boo him, too. He's a fucking loser.
They booed him when he came out.
He's a loser.
Yeah.
He's a fucking loser.
Yeah. I don't know why, you know, the fans want to support a loser like Roman Reigns.
Why would they?
Yeah.
Ah, people love a loser.
Well, I thought it was funny that, you know, they did this with Cena too. Like they try to justify the fans booing them, you know, as them like caring in some way. It's like, oh, if they didn't, you know, boo them, you know, it doesn't mean
they were two steps away from using the term X-Pac heat.
Yeah,
they really were.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, just because people are booing them doesn't mean that they actually, you know, care. You know, I haven't really, you know, I don't really voice my opinion on WWE guys. Well, especially, you know, those guys too often. But, you know, when I do, it doesn't mean that, like, oh, because I hate these guys, I'm going to continue going to shows. I don't know why they think, like, oh, people hate these guys so much, but they're spending like their entire paychecks to go to WWE. I'm like, no, I just buy the network. I've been to a few Garden shows the past couple of years, but I'm not like pouring like my paychecks into WWE.
No, me either. I'm not really buying
so
much.
You know,
I'll buy t-shirts once in a while now when they're on sale, like if they have the $5 blowout sales.
If they start doing like good wrestling and like stuff that's, you know, people love.
Well, there's good stuff. I mean, let's be honest. There is good stuff.
There certainly is.
The whole Rollins, Balor, Miz thing, like, that's all been very good stuff.
Yeah.
I like The Bar. I like what they're doing with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Although they need a little bit more chemistry and they need to keep people's attention more with their ring work.
They need to sprinkle some hobo spices on those
exactly.
guys.
Exactly. They just need a little something because the gimmick works. What's in the ring, they kind of have to meld a little better.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what's really keeping them at the level they're at right now.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good stuff, but a lot of it is just terrible.
Yeah.
The shit that they're putting on top is terrible. It's like WCW. You throw the fucking luchadors and the cruiserweights out in the beginning. You give us Jericho and Malenko at some point. You give us DDP and Savage. And what do you put on the end of the show? The Big Show and fucking Lex Luger getting spray painted again. Roddy Piper getting his fake hips smashed with a chair. It's the same shit over and over again. And that's what WWE's doing right now.
Yeah.
They're giving you some really good stuff, and they're hoping that it carries you through to the shitstorm to 11:15 or, God forbid, 11:45.
Yeah, you know, you got to stick it out for those 4 hours to get to...
Terrible. And you know what? People that fucking say, well, oh, I like John Cena as a person, or I like Roman Reigns as a person. Yeah, but we don't give a fuck.
That's not...
we're not tuning in because we care about John Cena. Oh, hey, that young man, John Cena, is going to be portraying a character.
The great humanitarian, John Cena.
Like, did you ever put on Happy Days and go, oh, I'm curious. I want to see what Tom Bosley's doing tonight. No! You don't care about Tom Bosley. You care about Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham.
Yeah.
Give a fuck about Tom Bosley. I don't care if he's fucking porking 12-year-olds when he gets off the fucking
stage.
Yeah,
or whatever.
That'll come out in 40 years anyway when he's dead or 80 years old.
You know, I do remember that there was like some of those gossip rags in the it's not the National Enquirer, but like the
Weekly D-level World News and shit.
Yeah, and it's like the dark side of Don Knotts. I remember there was like one that mentioned like
Aunt B was jerking him off in fucking Mayberry Pond.
No, even it,
even
well,
better.
Well, on the same level, there was like one where there was a front cover, and it was like the fist fight between Andy Griffith and Don Knotts, and I'm like, what?
The fist fight.
So Aunt B was
pegging him with his fishing rod.
No, she was willingly locked in a cell with Otis for the night.
Oh, golly! Fucking Gomer Pyle. You know Gomer Pyle's in Olivia Newton's John, right?
Oh, no.
Gomer's Pyle. boo.
There we go. We needed a bad joke.
Yeah, what else was there? Fucking... Did Jinder Mahal wrestle at the pay-per-view? He wrestled?
I'm sure he wrestled in one of those matches. Yeah, he lost again to Jeff Hardy.
No, he wrestled... No, wait. Did he wrestle... He wrestled Chad Gable on Raw, I think.
Yeah.
And he won. Whoop-de-doo.
Who, Chad Gable?
No, Jinder My Balls.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to piece together what I read. Oh, they had qualifications for the Money in the Bank matches.
Yeah.
Oh, and rumor has it, not only are they doing a men's match, not only are they doing a women's match equality because they didn't get to wrestle in Saudi Arabia,
uh-huh.
Rumor has it they might be doing a tag team match.
Who's tagging?
I don't know.
Oh.
That's fucking awful. Could you imagine sitting through three fucking Money in the Bank matches at the pay-per-view?
You know, three might as well, get in Jeff Jarrett and Dixie Carter to book the event.
If they might as well do Feast or Fired at this point.
Yeah, get a lockdown going. Have a might cage as well. Around.
They might as well do it that way. They just have three briefcases, and then you have to decide which one you want to go for.
And it starts off with the guy having the briefcase, and he has to put it back up on top of the ladder.
Like, he gets it, he opens it, he doesn't like it, so he puts it back, and then he goes to get another one.
And they're all going to be on poles on each corner.
In the corners.
Yeah, and you have to find the right one.
Or you have to open them in a specific order.
Yeah.
Well, like, if you get three briefcases, you get a world title match. If you get two briefcases, you get an IC title match.
Yes.
If you get one briefcase, you get a tag title match. Make it interesting.
Yeah, sponsored by Milton Bradley's Mousetrap.
Or Karate Fighters.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Didn't Sonny fight Max Mini for the championship of that?
I think so.
It was something like that.
Wasn't the King in the finals or something?
The King was in there. Did Todd Pettengill host it? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Fucking awful karate fighters. It was Rock'em Sock'em Robots without a ring.
But with karate guys, with Billy Graham.
Oh, fuck yeah. Billy Graham and Billy White Wolf. Isn't he a karate guy? Yeah. Chop chop. Charlie Norris was one of the add-on figures.
Yeah.
Charlie Norris and
High Chief Charlie Norris
and Peter Maivia too. They came in a two-pack, the High Chiefs, and then Tonto and Squanto. You like that, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some other
Indians.
Yeah,
Indian Chief Jay Strongbow and his brother Jules or his cousin Jules.
Yeah, Jules Strongbow.
Oh God, how many other Indians were there? Now we ran out of them.
I'm trying to remember some like Z level.
We ran through the entire list of Indian wrestlers and not dot dot like woo woo Indian.
Raja Lion wasn't a part of it.
Oh, wasn't there Billy Red Lions, or was he not an Indian?
And I think that was like a white guy.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Billy White Lions?
Billy
White
Red
Lion.
Lion. Yeah.
He came out to Radar Love.
Yes. Wasn't he the host of one of the Jim Henson Presents shows or something?
Ooh, Billy Lions?
White Lions.
White Lions.
Wasn't that like an 80s like yes. metal band?
Yeah. That's why I said they came to the ring. Let me see. Indian wrestlers. Now, I'm going to get fucking the Delhi guys that we were just watching before. Holy shit. We're doing a lot on India today and Indians in general. Oh, great. Professional. Wait.
Looks like TNA. This is awesome.
Oh, God. Professional wrestlers from India. I've never heard of... Oh, God. Like, India, country India. Fuck.
Oh.
Well, there's Mangala Rai, Jinder Mahal, Maharbali Shira, who's in TNA. But these are Tiger Jeet Singh and Tiger Ali Singh.
Wait, have you ever seen Jaya Baba versus Raja Lion?
Yes. I believe so. Who spoke about that recently?
I don't know. He's just like a guy that always just like comes up because the dude was like even taller than the great Khali. And like this guy couldn't like stand on his own 2 feet. Like he didn't have like he had zero balance. This was possibly like one of the worst matches in history.
I think I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
I'm just checking to see if there were any more comments made, but here I have a list of Indian wrestlers. Chief Wahoo McDaniel that we forgot about.
All right.
Billy Two Rivers, Chief Don Eagle,
Chief Roam Dice,
Danny Little Bear, who died in 1991, so he was a long time ago. Woody Strode, never heard of him.
Woody Stroke?
Maze McLean? That's not an Indian name. This is terrible. Mickey James is Indian? Wait, Mickey James is Native American? Get out of here for real.
Huh.
Mickey Laree James Aldis. Is she related to Nick Aldis?
She's married to him.
Get out of here for real.
You didn't know that?
Had no fucking idea.
He knocked her up.
He got the roast beef sandwich, son.
Yeah, man.
I'm trying to see.
You got some of that hardcore country.
A little bit of rock and roll. Oh, her music career. There you go. She had 2 albums. Somebody's Gonna Pay and Strangers and Angels. Personal life. She plans to own a farm to be an equine trainer. That means she wants to ride horses. She owns 3 Morgan horses named Rhapsody. Jesus, words are hard. Bunny and Casanova. Oh, she's part Native American of the Powhatan tribe. Look at that.
So, like, is she getting any, like, money for that, or?
She's opening a casino when she retires next year.
Okay. And the AWA is going to be having matches there.
Yeah, Maze McLean. He's part Indian as well. He was a professional football player. Huh. Kevin, all right, wait a minute. Kevin Nash is an American Indian. Hold on. Get out of town. Seriously. All right, now I got it. All right, now I got.
He was Vinny Vegas. So.
I have to read this. Well, there you go.
Yeah,
it all makes sense now. Let me see themes. Wow, there's a lot. Personal life. Oh, he's together. He was separated from. Oh, he separated from his wife, and they later reconciled. Great. There you go, Matt. There's some fucking awful shit for you. Nash has been outspoken about supporting gay wrestlers. Well, you learn something new every day.
A lot of wrestling is gay, so
he's real life friends with all these people. Yeah, we know this. How come there's no American Indian thing here?
Huh.
This is fucked up. Oh, early life. Born to a devout Christian family in Southwest Detroit. Shit, you'd have to be praying if you were born in Detroit anytime, right?
Yeah.
Blah 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 blah. No, I don't see anything about him being Indian. So I'm gonna call Bravo Sierra on that until I have actual proof. That's kind of fucked.
Huh.
Why would somebody lie about that?
It is the internet, so.
Well, I don't know. Whatever. Okay, so fuck that. Any more Indian wrestlers that we need to know of? All right, here we go. Tatanka. Well.
No shit.
Randy Orton is also listed. So is Charlie Norris and The Undertaker.
Oh, the Briscoes.
The Briscoes. Jack Briscoe, Joe Briscoe, and Wes Briscoe as well. There you go. Alair Littlefeather, naturally, and Isis the Amazon. And Cahagas. Who's Cahagas? Why does it sound familiar? I feel like I should know that.
Sounds
He's
Scottish.
A current wrestler. He's in the He's in the NWA right now.
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
Former NWA champion. There you go. That's why I know him. He's an American Indian born in Tokyo, Japan. How's that for fucking world traveling?
There's a lot of Asians that have Native American background for some reason.
Well, there's a lot of Argentinians that have Italian background, so there you go.
Ask Argentina Raka.
There you go. He was a good wrestler. He was no Bruno Sammartino, but he was a good wrestler.
Yeah, you know.
Was there anything else about this awful pay-per-view?
It was really bad. I got a lot of stuff done in my house while it was going on.
Oh, yeah, that's what you were telling me. You were doing legal research.
Yeah.
Legal research and writing. Oh, you got some fans of the Charles Bradley shirt. Look at that.
Nice.
Ha! Fucking Matt is awful. It's that dead guy. Great. You guys can cry over him and Bruno together.
Oh.
He's a fucking awful human being.
You know, why do you have this guy on the show?
I don't know.
Does anyone like him?
I think we're going to have to start making some changes. Well, I know Bobby Lashley wants to beat the shit out of him.
Which was the name of Charles Bradley's last album, Changes.
Well, there you go.
And we're going to start with getting rid of Matt on the show.
Getting rid of Matt. And Kevin, you better watch your P's and Q's, buddy, because you're going to be next.
Hey, you better not fuck up, Kevin.
You know what? Before we wind up, there's one question I wanted to ask you.
What's that?
And it's something that I brought up to Phil and Choppy the other night, and it's something that we actually talked about last week.
All right.
Tito Santana.
Chico.
Chico, yes. No. I know because he's one of your favorite wrestlers.
Arriba Man.
Now, he's no Dino Bravo, I understand.
But only one Dino Bravo.
Hear me out.
All right.
Do you think at any point in time from the late 70s to, like, well, let's say 1990, Tito Santana would have been a serviceable, popular, money-drawing WWF champion?
No.
No, and you say that emphatically, very quickly. All right, let me walk you through time periods.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan decides to stay with AWA.
All right.
Jimmy Snuka killed someone.
Okay.
Say he doesn't come back from Pennsylvania because Vince McMahon didn't have enough money in the briefcase.
Yeah.
Allegedly. You've got the Iron Sheik who just won the title, brother. Do you think Tito Santana is the next in line to step up? And if not, who do you consider at that point for that role?
Hmm.
Now, Tito's already in his first Intercontinental title run here.
Yeah.
Or he's at least feuding with he's in his run. He didn't lose to Valentine yet at this point, if I remember correctly.
No, he didn't lose until, I want to say, 85?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't champion at the first WrestleMania, but he won it a little bit after.
Yeah.
And then he held it for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you think he could have stepped up at least for a little while?
Hmm.
Maybe you give it to him through, like, 84, 85 until somebody comes along in 86?
Yeah.
Maybe you sign Dusty Rhodes. Maybe he comes in and steps in and become champion. But do you think Tito's a good stopgap at that point?
Well, I know that there was even talks of possibly having Flair around 85.
Yeah, there's been rumors about that too.
So, because bringing in someone else from another territory, which is exactly what happened with Hogan, is not completely out of the picture. Because I feel with Chico, as popular as he was never like the guy. It was usually like a Superfly Snuka, JYD. I don't know if they would even, I'm kind of curious if they would have given JYD the belt.
JYD was in bad shape from what I understand compared to his days in Mid-South.
Oh yeah, he was like ripped, chisel, cut, defined when
and
he was in like
jacked.
And jacked in Mid-South, but when he came to WWF, he was already sporting the beer gut.
There were probably other extracurriculars he was doing aside from drinking.
Yeah.
It was the 80s, Dave.
Huh?
There was a lot of that in the 80s.
A lot of people were putting stuff up their nose.
But,
besides
I mean,
donut glaze. And.
But Tito's clean cut. He's a proven draw. He had a great feud with Morocco.
Uh-huh.
Had a great feud with Valentine. Had an amazing cage match to win the championship back.
Which Valentine destroyed the belt during.
Well, doesn't that suck, man? What is it about the fucking, like, these guys destroying belts? I don't get it.
But he got a better belt out of it.
And he threw the old belt in the garbage, like an idiot.
Yeah, of course.
Fucking I can't.
He was crying over how Greg Valentine destroyed it.
So. Arriba! And they just so like nonchalantly gave it to him on like an episode of Superstars.
Yeah.
It was a 6-man tag match. It wasn't even like, he was like wrestling a match against like, it was like a 1-on-1. It was like, oh, here's a tag match. By the way, Tito, here's your new belt.
Yeah. Yo, whenever I think of Chico Santana, I think of his great Royal Rumble promo where he starts it off with, I got a lot of friends in the World Wrestling Federation. And then I just started like cracking up. I'm like, this guy doesn't have any friends.
No, he was entertaining you. That's what he did.
Yeah, entertaining, you know, lying to the fans that he has friends.
No, he was lying to you. He was trying to pop. He was trying to pop a young Dave Powers.
Yeah,
that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Speaking of popping, you ever see the Phantom Punch where he went to punch the Undertaker and didn't connect? That was in the Royal
Barcelona.
Rumble. No, that was actually a good match. I enjoyed that match. That's the thing about Tito. Like he really was a good hand. Look at the stuff before that in the 70s, his tag title run with Putski.
What if they made Chico like a badass or something like that? Have him ride a motorcycle. Be like Chico TA.
Oh my God.
Imagine that.
And his hair's all slicked back.
Yeah, he's got
the good guys call him a wetback to try to fucking piss him off.
Yeah.
Fuck,
but he's got to have like one of those like cholo mullets where it's kind of like a pompadour on the front and
fucking
like a
hairnet.
Curly. Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
Like if he was
Eddie Guerrero, the white t-shirt.
If he was Eddie Guerrero before Eddie Guerrero.
A fucking cholo fucking Tito Santana could have worked.
Yeah, because
early
look at it this
90s
way.
Instead of the Matador.
Because look at it this way. You know, when Eddie Guerrero came on the scene, he was a nice, clean-cut guy. And then they had him go, like, you know, become like a major machigón, like cholo.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Exactly.
The whole Mamacita thing, and then he started cheating to win.
Yeah. You know, if Chico did something like that, because all those guys say, like, hey, man, I wish I had, like, a heel run and stuff like that.
Yeah, but Tito was white meat his whole career.
Hey, man.
I could fucking picture that, though. Cholo Santana.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
You know, he comes down with the low rider and has, like, the Virgin Mary with, like, a lucha mask on.
And he puts him in the corner and he fucking kneels and prays to it and shit before he gets in the ring.
Like, he does, like, some awful shit and then, like, goes to confession on Sundays. And then, like, Mean Gene comes up to him and he's like, Chico Santana. I can't believe you just did that to Terry Taylor in the ring. What do you got to say for yourself? And he's like, anything for Salinas. You know, that would be like the best thing ever.
Holy fuck. All right. Chico Santana.
Yeah. And he went by Chico. He's like, I don't want to be called Tito anymore.
Yeah. Tito's my white name.
Like my government name. <That's> It's Chico.
That guy could have been world champion.
Yeah.
Fucking Chico Santana, world champion.
You know, that would have been like the perfect, you know, Eric Bischoff is trying to like create reality-based wrestling, and you know, WWF had a gold mine on their hands.
That would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, WWF is screwing around with like King Mabel and and TL Hopper.
And he made him the Matador, dude. What was the point?
Yeah, if you're going to like give this guy a stereotype, give him like the best kind of stereotype.
Like he went to go find his true self and he became a Matador. Why couldn't he be a Cholo?
Yeah, and you know, there was I put this on YouTube. It's under Million Dollar Man's racist promo where Million Dollar Man and Sensational Sherry go to visit Chico Santana's like childhood home.
Oh yeah.
And it's like a mattress on the sidewalk and stuff. And they're going like, oh, you know, I heard the architect's name is like Senior Slum and all that. But you know, what if like he embraced that and like he like stole the $1 million title and, you know, did some like rank shit, you know, like put it on his car and stuff like that.
He fucking puts it on the hood of his car, like the fucking emblem.
Yeah.
Across the front bumper.
Like, he sells, like they should have him, like, sell all the diamonds, because kind of like Pedro Morales selling the WWF title to a pawn shop.
To fucking bet on the ponies. That's why.
You know, have him do something like that, like the guy from Raging Bull, have him sell the fucking diamonds out of the belt. And, like, he just, like, sells pieces of the belt, but he keeps, like, the big like dollar sign on the like the main plate and has it like, you know, like as like the Honda H for his car or something like that.
Yeah, they put it on the front of his car.
Yeah.
Or he presents his girlfriend with a necklace.
Yeah.
And the fucking medallion is the big the big dollar sign with all the diamonds.
Yeah. And this would be like the perfect way to, you know, turn Million Dollar Man as a face because he was already kind of, you know, spinning his wheels in the mud, doing the same shit at that point.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
And then all that's left is like one of the little like dollar signs from the side.
And that's like the last piece.
And he's like, no. And then he starts coming to the ring with like a leather belt and he just has that $1 sign attached to it.
Yeah. Hey, it would have been great. And DiBiase was a great face back in the day. And
he becomes the $100,000 champion.
Yeah.
Because he found Jesus and he wound up being broke.
Yeah, it would be a great way to turn this guy face, give him a new lease on life, give him a completely different character. Chico Santana has a new lease on life, along with, like, you know, the lease to some other stuff in his life, too.
Fucking Chico Santana, world champion.
Yeah. You see, you know, everybody, like, gives me shit for calling him Chico.
But dude, you have him pegged.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah. See, I know how to book wrestling. I know wrestling.
And then it wouldn't be Tito Santana in the Hall of Fame. Chico Santana would be inducted.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, people would argue online about, like, should Tito Santana be in the Hall of Fame or should Chico Santana be in the Hall of Fame?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he comes out on stage, like, he still has the hairnet, but he's wearing the suit. But instead of a tie, he's got like one of those like Texas shoestring ties with the like the clip on the top. And the clip's got the dollar sign on it. Holy fuck.
You know, this would have been amazing. And, you know, at the same time, you know, I know a lot of people like, you know, they might say like, oh, Chico wasn't the best at promos. And he wouldn't even have to be great at a promo.
He could just speak Spanish.
Yeah, he would just speak Spanish and just like the presentation of what this guy looks like. And people be like, holy shit, like, where did this come from?
He could just stand there and recite a poem in Spanish.
Yeah.
And nobody would be the wiser.
Yeah, and he wouldn't even have to be good at this gimmick. People would just, like, their jaws would drop.
Yeah.
And, you know, just let nature take its course.
Would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Would have absolutely
like,
been
Ric
amazing.
Flair, like, comes in, you know, during the 90s, and, you know, he's, like, you know, facing Chico Santana. You know, like, it's like a what the fuck kind of moment. How can you be the nature boy? Like, I don't think even the nature boy Ric Flair could even contend against this version of Tito Santana.
Definitely not.
No.
Definitely
not. Like, he, you know, Flair would come in challenging Hogan, but
you know how many Tito Santana knockoffs there would have been on the independent scene?
Oh, yeah, there would be so many.
There'd be hundreds of guys. Yeah. Everybody would have been a Santana instead of an Anderson.
Yeah.
Amazing. Nobody would fucking want to walk around going woo. They would all say Arriba.
Yeah.
And he still used Arriba.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say like Hola Day or anything like that.
That's another thing. He doesn't even have to change his catchphrase.
Doesn't even change it.
Yeah.
Just says it like Arriba. You know,
fucking... you know, even the LWO couldn't even touch this.
Nope. Bischoff would have been throwing briefcases of money at him to sign him to be the leader of the LWO.
Yeah.
And the LWO could have taken down the NWO and Bill Goldberg. You know,
LWO could have happened before the NWO.
That, oh my God.
NWO could have been a spinoff of the
LWO.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Like Super Porky.
Yeah.
And El Dandy decided they couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
So they recruited Hall Nash and Hogan.
Yeah.
Fucking Santana versus Hogan.
Yeah.
Starcade 98.
Yeah. And Hogan could still be, you know, red, white, and blue, red, and yellow. And, you know, be the man that faces up to the red, white, and green.
Tito fucking comes out. He's got the flag draped over his shoulder.
Yeah.
They have the fucking main event in Monterrey, Mexico. Oh, my God, dude. And then Hogan could be like, brother, I didn't think I was getting out of Mexico alive, yeah, brother.
Even forget about the Hart Foundation DX thing.
Oh, no.
We would have had it earlier.
Nope. Would have even needed it.
Yeah.
It would have been Chili McFreeze. Yeah. Against fucking Owen Hart's team. That would have been all there's to
exactly.
It. That would have been it, dude. This has been a fucking blast, man.
Yeah.
We definitely have to do our breakfast podcast.
Yeah, we need to fire Matt, first of all.
Well, get rid of him because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
And tell Kevin, put Kevin on notice.
Yeah.
You're on thin ice, Garifo. You with that fucking comedy podcast of yours now.
You know, I would bring up Eddie, but, you know, Eddie's MIA.
Where, I don't even know
he's
where
he is. He's on some, like, milk cartons, I think, so.
He might be taking pictures somewhere in Africa. I don't know.
Yeah, the rain's down in Africa.
The Dumbfellas podcast drops every Wednesday. That'll be available tomorrow. That's Kevin's new podcast that he does with a bunch of his comedian friends. It's pretty funny stuff. It's pretty funny.
Who's on it again?
Natty Bumpercar, Rich McDonald, Kevin, KP Burke, and Joe Carney.
KP Burke is a funny dude.
KP Burke is fucking hilarious. Did you watch the roast of him online of Brian O'Halloran?
Yeah, that was incredible.
Amazing.
Like, I think somebody had like a cell phone video of this. Like, thank God, you know, somebody put that up there because, you know.
He crushed.
You know. Yeah, I don't really like keep like in the loop with comedians like I used to, and KP Perk is fucking
as
hell.
He's a fucking creative.
If I'm putting somebody over, it's a big deal. So
I know, I know. You don't fucking hand out the putovers.
Hell no.
Like fucking candy.
No.
Saving that shit.
Yeah.
So you put over Chico Santana, KP Burke.
The new Chico Santana.
Do you want to put Dino Bravo over before we call it a
fuck
night?
No.
Oh, that's a shame, dude. Don't shit on Dino Bravo. Life already shit on him enough as it is.
Listen, you know, the man should have, like, owned up, not had, like, the painted foam rubber plates on the bar at the first Royal Rumble.
Well, there you go.
Should have lifted some real weights. Be a real man.
Hey, he got 705 up with a two-finger assist from Jesse. That's pretty impressive in my book.
And got a few bullets in the brain while watching a Golden Girls rerun, too.
He's concentrating on rolling his own cigarettes.
Yeah.
Fucking guy. Poor fucking guy. Well, rest in peace, Big Bully Busick.
Yes.
And I guess that's it. Now, you told me about some music that you wanted to close with, very special request.
It's not that big of a request, because I know whenever I'm on the show... Like, either you or that other moron, Matt Bowman. It's like, hey, like, what do you want to close with? What kind of music you want to play?
It's kind of like one of our gimmicks, you know?
It's kind of like I gave you a song beforehand, so it's not like we're put on the spot of, like, Rick Springfield. I don't know.
Tell me about Syl Johnson before we play it.
I
don't know anything about him?
You know, I actually found out about him because we play music at work.
Okay.
Which, at previous jobs, whenever there was like somebody like playing music, it was like top 40 and it'd be like the same fucking songs all the time.
Yeah.
Since I started this new job, funny enough, first couple days in, I'm wearing a Charles Bradley shirt. My boss says to me, oh, didn't he die recently?
Ooh, and
I'm
a fan. Like,
yeah, that's what I said.
That's
and then,
awesome.
Like, usually my boss is the one that's like playing music.
That's so
cool. In the office, and I heard this song, and I was like, this is really good shit. And then I found out the name of the song, and I was like, oh, I got to get this.
Well, we'll get to that when you guys start hearing the song. And now you can wear your new shirt to work.
Yes.
I'm glad you like it. This was fun, dude.
This was an awesome show.
Next time, I hope you get here on time.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, you know, I had to, like, hotwire a fucking car to get here. I had to come from Manhattan.
Well, you were coming from Manhattan?
Because I was working in Manhattan.
Wait, you drive to Manhattan?
No. I take the train.
Oh,
the train
fuck,
gets
dude.
The train, like, gets off, like, at 6:10. Then I had to get home.
I had to get
some shit from the house. And then I had to get in the car, hotwire the car.
Shit, I feel bad now.
Had to parasail and, you know, hit Brutus Beefcake in the face. And then
sit on 21 in traffic for 4 hours.
I wasn't on 21.
You didn't take 21?
It took me, like, through, like, local roads.
Oh, dude, why?
I don't know.
Probably
because there was, like, traffic on the main road.
Probably all jacked up.
Yeah. Because there was all these people that were still trying to get out of Prudential
from
backlash. So.
Yeah, I guess we'll see you all next week. And Dave, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
You know, I just want to apologize to all the listeners that I won't be here next week.
Yeah,
so
I know.
You'll have to put up with Matt Bowman.
It's probably gonna be a Studio B production next week. Not really sure yet, but
Plan 9 from Studio B.
We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, here's some Syl Johnson for you. I won't say the name of it because you'll be able to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Listen and learn.
Yeah, and get educated. I listened to it before I actually put in the sound. It's a very good song.
Yeah, it's a great song. Not too often that, you know...
A little culture on the show.
Yeah, you know, I don't, you know... There's not too many, like, new... Well, he's not a new artist, he's an old artist. But there's not too many, like, old artists that, like, you know, pop into my radar. But this guy popped on, and I was like, I gotta... I need to find out about this dude.
Yeah, it's some good stuff. I'm gonna let it play out so everybody can enjoy it. Alright, folks. Until next week. I don't know. We'll see
you. Mahalo.
Mahalo and assalamu alaikum.
Peace.
Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew. Wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me, what can I do? Oh, Lord. Oh, something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised in the ghettos of the city. Yeah, oh Lord. Mama, she worked so hard to earn every penny. Yeah, oh Lord. Something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm black? Oh, somebody tell me, what can I do? Will I survive?